several years ago, I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you. Obviously, as you grow in your faith, it happens from times. You go through something and you really didn't know why. And you thought what you were going through was difficult, and God gave you something to get you through that, and you found out later God was actually preparing you for something else. And several years ago, I don't remember what year I was down there trying to think. I want to say it was 2019, but I may be wrong. I was really kind of going through a tough time personally, and felt a little, I don't know, criticized. And I know we don't like to be criticized. I know I joke about this all the time that I don't like to be criticized, but somehow I chose to be a referee, and that's kind of, you know, bad choice if you don't like to be criticized. Although I will tell you, there is nothing like a couple thousand people booing you in a gym all at the same time. It's intoxicating. It really is. I told Susan, I said, I don't like one person booing me, but 1,000 or 2,000, that's awesome. And that feels really good, especially when you know you're right and they're all wrong. And but anyway, fears go, just kind of really going through something. I thought, God, this is bad. And we took the young people to camp, and I was really struggling with it. And I don't know if it was the first or the second song the worship team did at camp. They did that song, Who You Say I Am. And I don't know, you need this morning. God said to my heart, and I hope he says to your heart if he hasn't already, everything in this world, including sometimes religion, sometimes the church, tries to put you in a box. And you have to fit in this particular box or you don't belong. How you talk, how you dress, how you look, how you respond to things, how you don't respond to things. There's a whole bunch of things. And it tries to put you in this little box and says that. And it tries to, and we even try to put our faith in that box. And it's got to look like, my faith is going to look like Peter's faith. Because Peter's faith has to look like Lisa's faith, and her faith has to look like Susan's faith, and her, you know, and number one, all of our faith is in Jesus. Nobody, that's where it all goes. But the way I grow in that is different from person to person. And so we were, I don't know, it was either the first or second song, and they sang that, and God just said to me so vividly, I am who you, to me, you are who I say you are. Not who everybody else says you are, not what everybody else says you are. See, I know a lot of you came in here with stuff this morning that you would not tell anybody else about. We live in a world full of hurts, full of fears, full of anxieties, full of stresses, full of abandonment. You can be surrounded by people and still very, very alone. And so we live in this world full of that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden we come into an environment like this where we're all supposed to have on our best spiritual faces today, right? And we're all supposed to look really churchy. I don't know what churchy is, but we're supposed to look really churchy. And you're like, but I'm dying inside. I really am. I'm hurting. And, you know, I remember being with those teenagers, and I was supposed to be the leader. And leaders supposed to be on top of everything. And I was felt like I was on the bottom of everything. And I remember going through that. And like I said, I think that was 2019. Man, I had no clue what the next couple years were going to hold, right? And I've gone back over and over again that God was saying to me at that time, you need this now a little bit. You're going to need this even greater later on. And how many times I've had to pray and look up to God and say, I am who you say I am. And so Romans 8, I just wanted to go to the familiar verses of verse 35. And y'all are going to be very happy that the Lord just led me here, because Emma saw the length of my slides this morning for the sermon, and she was like, wow, we're going to be here a while. But I just want to follow the Lord and be obedient this morning, and I'm trying to do my best for that. Romans 8, verse 35. Who? And maybe some of you need to put a what there too. Shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, I remind you, in this world you will have trouble. Distress, in this world you will have stress. You will have anxiety. Persecution, you will be criticized, if not physically hurt. Famine, you will suffer loss. Nakedness, people will try to make you feel ashamed. Or peril, there's danger, or there could be the sword. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Any of these things. As it is written, verse 36, for your sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, do you see the list I just read to you? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. That's tough stuff. Yet he says, in all these things, not we will be more than conquerors. We are. We are more than conquerors. You are who he says you are. You are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Part of Colossians that I was going to read this morning, I think it's verse 13 or 14, is leaving me right now, says that we are brought into the kingdom of the love of his son. Brought into the kingdom of the love of his son. Through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, verse 38. And this is where all of us need to get, and this is why I'm sharing this with you. Because God, I've had to lean back on this numerous times. For I am persuaded, and I will be confessed to you, there's days I'm not persuaded. There's days where that Job feeling that Susan talked about a while ago, feeling like, God, I feel like I go east and you're not there, west and you're not there. I go south, I go north. I look everywhere I look, and you're just not there. And if you've never experienced that, please come switch places with me. I mean, seriously, because sometimes you feel like God is a million miles away, and you pray, and it's like, did you even hear me, much less care? But Paul had been through so much, and he had come to the point that he looked at these people, and he said, I am persuaded. And I believe God is wanting this morning to persuade us. To persuade us that neither death nor life. I think that's always interesting to me. Okay, God, you're in God of death, but I don't really need you in life. No, he said, no, neither death nor life. Because sometimes death would be a relief, is how some people read it. It would just be easier just to get out of here, but God doesn't want to take you out of here yet. Everybody in here that's breathing, God's still got a plan for you, and he's got purpose for your life. And I've had to be convinced of that, and there's times that my wife has had to say that over me, or somebody else has had to say that over me, but I needed to know that even in life, God is still there. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, all the angelic beings and all of the enemies even of the around me that are there, nor things present, nor things to come. I grew up in church enough to know that we are so good at telling people, you think it's bad now. that's a really horrible message to constantly be preaching to people, when actually he brought us into the kingdom of his love. You know, it's almost like we preach the Bible like, you know, you think this is bad, it's going to get worse. And instead of, I want to tell people, no, at the end of it all, it's not just going to get better, it's going to be incredible. Eye has not seen nor ear heard what God has prepared. Things present. And that's why we want out of this situation sometimes, because things are bad, things present, nor things to come. I don't know what next year holds. I got up at 4 this morning and praying, thinking, and I started reading, and I opened up my phone, and there was an article. And I love this article said, do you think COVID was bad? Wait till the next one comes along. And I'm like, somebody just beat this person up for writing that article. But that's, no, nor things present, nor things to come. It doesn't matter what comes, nor height, nor depth. It doesn't matter if you're swimming or drowning, nor any other created thing. None of it shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No matter what you've been through, no matter what you're going through or what you're going to go through, God is always going to love you. And he's always going to be on your side. That those words, you are for me, not against me. Sometimes we feel like, I don't know. But the truth is, he is for you. He's not against you. He's brought you into his kingdom. He's celebrating you. He loves you. And if you're hurting this morning, he is the God who sits down in our hurt with us and loves us in it. And sometimes I'm like, God, no, just take it away. And God says, no, I need you to go through it, but I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you in this. I'm going to love you through it. And my fears, my anxieties, I was reading that verse the other day in Philippians, don't worry about anything but pray about everything. And I'm like, that's easy for you to say. But I realized what it actually it's saying to me. If I sit and worry about it, it's really not going to do me a lot of good. So I just go, God, I can't handle this. Whoever said God's not going to give you more than you can handle, I know we kind of what we're doing is we're twisting a scripture actually right there. What he said, he's going to give you a way to make go through it. But the truth is, there's some stuff you just can't handle on your own. You weren't meant to. You were always meant to depend on God. You were always meant to rely on him. And so when you pray in the middle of the night, God, I can't handle this, he doesn't, as I grew up and heard, you know, the coarseness of, well, just give it to God. That's so easy to say from a pulpit. I'm going to be honest with you. But when I say in the middle of the night, God, I can't handle this, God says, I know. And I don't want you to. I want to be here with you in this. And so my challenge to you today is very, very simple. You are who God says you are. And nothing, no tribulation, no distress, no persecution, no ridicule, no disease, no cancer, no, none of this defines who you are. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Am I a child of God that has stresses? Yes. Am I a child of God that has troubles? Yes. Am I a child of God that faces death? Absolutely. But when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're with me. That's the hope. That's the hope. So can I encourage some of you to where I've had to learn, quit praying, God, get me out of this. God, make this all go away. Man, if you hadn't prayed that in the past 2 years, you're incredible. No, quit praying, God, make this all go away. God, be with me. Be with me, and every day remind me who I am in you. And remind me that I don't need to have it all together. I think it was Beth Moore said one time, I was listening to something, she said, people aren't looking for you to have it all together. They're wanting to see what you are when it's not. When it's not all together and you still get through, how did you do that? Wasn't me, it was God. So remember that today. Tribulation, persecution, famine, doesn't matter. Ridicule, shame, hurt, pain, death. He won't leave you. And maybe we just need to emblazon that on our hearts. Who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. We're more than conquerors through that. So it doesn't matter what comes, nothing's going to separate me from any of that. I want us to cover one another with prayers. I want you to look around, just who's seated around you for a moment. And you're like, I don't really know their name. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You don't know what they're going through. I will tell you sometimes, and I know some of you that have served ministry-wise and ministered to people, you understand. You can look at a group of people, and because you love them and you've ministered to them and you've talked to them and had discussions with them, you know what they're going through. And then I say this again, sometimes you think you know what they're going through. You only know the part they'll tell you. And so you don't know the person next to you, behind you, in front of you. You have no idea what they're going through. But God does. I'll give you a hint to Colossians 1 for next week. Paul said to the church in verse 9, Colossians 1:9, he said, from the time we heard about you, we've been praying for you. The best I can read, Paul and Timothy never met these people. And yet he said, we've been praying for you. And so I don't know, I don't know what they're going through. But I know we can pray. So we can pray for so many people. But this morning, can we just do that for a minute? Could somebody come play something? I don't know what's on the schedule. Just play something. And then let's just get in this attitude of prayer. And could we just pray for people around us? I'm going to just let you have a moment right now. Just kind of glance around you and just pray. Maybe you know something. Or maybe if you know them well enough, just lean over and say, hey, what can I pray for? And if they've got something, maybe they'll share it. But let's just do this. This is the church. It's a praying place. Man, Lord, help us to pray. Father, you're incredible because you know every single heart in this place. I know the needs of some people in this place, but I don't know their hearts, but you do. And I love it that you care about them so intensely. And I can't imagine what you feel because I know me this morning. I feel for some people in here who are struggling. There's some this morning that they're questioning their purpose in life. They don't even know why they're here, and they're just frustrated with that. And they need you to open up their hearts and minds and eyes to that. There's some this morning, they've got some, I don't even know the words, some fears, some stresses, some anxieties that they don't feel like they can share with anybody else because they feel like everybody else would just laugh. Why are you so afraid of that? Or why are you so anxious over that? But you know our hearts. And you know what we've been through that brings us to these points. And as much as I would like to just instantly pray this morning to take away their anxieties, my prayer is this morning that you would meet them in that anxiety and let them know, I am here. And I see you, I know you, and I'm going to be with you in this. And through all this, you're going to be stronger. And you may not be stronger for everybody else yet, but you're going to be stronger for me. And that's all that matters. So God, speak to them in that. It's people that are facing illness, not just in their life, but in their family life. And that's brought so much pain. We know there's also death on that other side, and scares us so much because we just don't get it. There's people questioning their future. There's adults questioning their future. There's young people questioning their future. And you just told them, just tell them this morning, no matter where you are, I'm going to be with you. And you don't need to know 10 years from now. Just know right now. So, Lord, speak to us in this. We need you. I admit I'm just hungry for you this morning. And I want to see you work in my life. I want to see you work in other people's lives. We can't be restored, God, without just this sense of you and your presence in us. My final prayer is this morning that everybody here that's listening online that maybe isn't here this morning for whatever reason that calls this their church, their assembly, their group, their family, whatever word they use, I pray, God, like you prayed in John 17, that you would knit our hearts together. That you would bind us together with all of our opinions and maybe differences that really in the kingdom don't matter. Let us be bound together with this love of God. You matter. You matter more than anything else. And we need you. We need you. I want us to make a difference together for your glory, not ours, but for yours. So may it be true. In the name of Jesus.